Hey, welcome to the Healthy Style Podcast. I'm your host, Michaela, and I'm a health coach and a podcaster, and I'm here to share everything I possibly can to help you transform your life. And I'm here to talk all things health and wellness, beauty, skincare, daily routines, and transformation that will empower you to own your life and become the best version of yourself. So grab a cup of coffee, tea, or green juice and sit back and enjoy this episode. Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. Today, I am talking to Jessica Salona and Elsa Pine. They are the creators of ZenPals.com, where they share mindfulness for kids through meditation and imagination. And together, they help to create tools to help children learn to meditate, cope, and use their creative imaginations. On their website, they have different meditations for children, healthy tips, meals, bedtime stories, arts and crafts. It's a really great resource for parents and kids. You can purchase either Rosie the Unicorn or Jasper the Fox, which come with a mini meditation mask for the plush toy and for the child, a rose quartz crystal, which you can put in a secret pocket, and it could also sit in cute poses like legs crossed or placing the paw on the heart space. And we actually have Rosie the Unicorn in our home. And my daughter, who is 5, she absolutely loves her. And I share in the episode how we practice meditation daily and mindfulness. And Rosie is such a great tool for kids to do that. In this episode, we share a lot of tips for raising children that are mindful. And studies show that the benefits of mindfulness for kids include increased focus, attention, self-control, compassion, improved academic performance, ability to resolve conflict, overall well-being. Mindfulness also decreases levels of stress, depression, anxiety, and disruptive behavior. And we have created a free resource for you. It's a downloadable guide that gives you ways to teach kids mindfulness at home and in their life. There will be different questions that you can ask them, ways to practice mindful eating, and how to create a mindful corner in your home. And you could find this guide by going to healthwithmichaela.com/mindfulkids. The link is in the show notes. And we are planning also on having a challenge in the beginning of the new year. So stay tuned for more info. And I hope you enjoy this episode and please share it with another mom or a teacher so we can help to bring more mindfulness into other people's lives, which will in turn make this world a better place. So let's get into the episode. Hey guys, welcome to the Healthy Style Podcast. And on today's episode, we have Elsa and Jessica from Zen Pals, and I have both of them here. So ladies, why don't you go ahead and say hello and give our listeners a little introduction to you and Zen Pals.
Great. Thanks, Michaela. Hi, my name is Elsa Pine and with me is Jess Alana, and we have created Zen Pals during this world's pandemic, during the most uncertain times, because we know that kids are in need of coping and learning coping skills more than ever. And they're alone by themselves. But, you know, the Dalai Lama said it best, if we can teach every 8-year-old how to meditate and learn the coping skills, we'll eradicate violence in one generation. And that's pretty powerful to think that we could have that much of an impact. And, for Jess and I, our relationship goes way, way further back than when we started, before we started this business. And I was going to her for Reiki, and I didn't know that a Reiki session was going to turn into a give and take. Like, we couldn't stop talking about this for 2 hours. And this was all before I was going in for a major surgery to lose my mommy parts. And I said, I need to birth, we need to birth this for children. And Jess had done the first prototype and I was blown away. And I think every mom at heart always wants to be able to read to their grandchildren and teach them something, or and their children as well. And I think, you know, there's nothing more important than spreading love and kindness, but as well making kids secure with themselves and learning how to cope for whatever purpose it might serve them in their lifetime. But Jess, absolutely. Their background.
Yes. Well. Hi. Hi, Jess.
Hi, how are you?
Very good.
So my background, I guess the way that this all really came about was through a meditation. Yeah. I was in a meditation, and during the meditation, I was handed a seed, and the seed was an idea. And I'm not sure if everyone's familiar with the whole idea of seeds and how we plant them and then have to be patient and watch them grow. And there are these amazing ideas that start to turn into these incredible movements. So I was handed a seed, and the next thing I saw were unicorns, and I saw a lot of little kids, and I knew, I could hear in my head that I was supposed to be spreading meditation, mindfulness, and teaching children how to do this, because it was going to help them. It was a tool for them in the beginning, early on, that would serve them through life. And I kind of sat up from the meditation thinking, I have no idea how I'm supposed to do this or what I'm supposed to do. I'm not a toy maker. So I bought a bunch of little animals like that you stuff yourself. And I started playing around with that and putting crystals in them. Anyhow, fast forward, I did get to the point where we made a prototype of Rosie and then a prototype of Jasper. And then Elsa got involved, and it's just been moving quickly, and it's exciting ever since. So we're doing exactly what we set out to do.
I love that. And like I mentioned in the intro, I met Jessica at a wellness event. My daughter actually was so drawn to Rosie. She cried because I didn't think that it was for sale. Cause I just saw one, and I thought it was just more for like, for people to check out. Right. And she's like crying to me, and I'm like, I'll buy it for you. And then it turns out you dropped off more. So, she ended up getting it as a gift from Jessica, from her space mitzvah, for like her birthday. And her daughter got one as well. So they're both here with these, you know, Rosie, unicorns, and they're playing with them. And I mean, just her knowing that, and my daughter she just turned 5, and she knows how to meditate. She's very mindful. Ugh. You know, she knows when to tell me to take a deep breath, you know, when I need it. So we work together really well. And so she is familiar to the concept of mindfulness and meditation. And so when she got it, literally that night, she was in bed, and I'm going to post this video on Instagram. She led a guided meditation. I think I sent it to you, Jessica. Oh. And she was just holding her. And so she now looks at her, and she knows it's about mindfulness and meditation. And so I think having a tool that kids can associate with that is super powerful. Now, for kids that have never, you know, that have never meditated. For example, my daughter and I we meditate every single night. We have for years. We do like meditation stories and things like that. We fall asleep like that. So her language, that's just part of her language, you know? And I make it very like a normal thing. Like I'll say mindfulness, I'll say manifesting, I'll say we talk about her thoughts and how they make things, you know, come alive, and just to be wise with her thoughts. So there's like a lot of little nuggets that I plant, or like seeds that I plant in her head. And sometimes she'll come up with her own versions of it at a random time. And it's like the coolest thing. And I'm like, yeah, you know, it's true.
How powerful is that? That she, I mean, you're watching her, you know, I mean, at a point where, you know, women we're getting more opportunities than we ever have. Right.
Because,
but we're so thankful like that our daughters and our future daughters and that of that generation will never have what we had to go through. And I always, I say, if we can teach a kid how to meditate early, they will literally teach the parents how to meditate. So,
yes,
you know, like your daughter reminded you to take a deep breath. Like, I mean, that's just doing the transcendental breathing. But when you were talking about the schools, I remember someone was telling me how like they've got like, you know, while we were doing Zoom classes last year during COVID, you know, and all everybody wanted to see was the teacher's cat or their dog on the screen.
Yeah.
They didn't want to see anything else. And everyone answered a question was what their question was, what has got helped you get through COVID this year? And every one of them said it was their animals.
Oh yeah.
So whether it's that sensory thing about touching the animals and being calm, but to think that, you know, we were seeing that because we were having our nieces and nephews and friends and they're like, oh my God, this is amazing. Oh my God, our dog almost ate it. Oh my God. Like I'm like, okay, we're hearing exactly what you said. Like some kids won't go to sleep without it, without doing a meditation first and then being kind and looking at it and saying, I'll see you when I wake up. Like there's nothing better than that.
Yeah, absolutely. Nothing. So I wanted to ask for parents who don't meditate, but want to introduce this into their daily routine with their kids or kids that have never heard these terms, like what is a great way to, once somebody gets Rosie, right, or orders them and they get it, what is some of the first steps of creating that daily routine?
I think that they could go on to our website, really, and they can look at our, we have a few different meditations that are on there. We will be adding to it consistently. But I think they could probably start there. They're guided meditations. It's just simple. It's just like listening to a little story. They're not too long, so they can hold the attention span of a child that's five. I think that's a good place to start. And from there, they could really move into then more of mindfulness. And, you know, mindfulness is teaching a child to be present, right? It's teaching them to only focus on what's happening to them at that second. So I think that it's baby steps, you know, but really at
the and end really day, quickly, how do we teach them how to be mindful? What are those steps? Like, how do we teach them to just be in the present moment?
So by being in the present moment, you can have them, if they're eating, we'll use that for example. Yeah. So there's mindful eating. Instead of eating while they're looking at their phone or watching TV, right, all electronics are off. And as they're eating, you ask them, you know, how does that feel in your mouth? What's the texture of the food? How does it taste? You could have them smell it before they even put it in their mouth. Notice the color of what it might be. So you can, that's something for mindful eating. There's also different exercises for different body parts, right? So that we can really ground ourselves and keep ourselves in our bodies. You can have, as they're even just sitting down, you can have them just kind of notice the top of their head, right? Do they feel everything right over the top of their head? Then they can go to their forehead. You know, you can feel your forehead just touching it. And then you can even ask them to, you know, clench up their shoulders, the muscles in their shoulders, right? And then let them relax and just feel that muscle in their shoulders and then continue to move down the body. There's a lot of different little things that you can do. There's a lot of worksheets that are out there just by asking them what emotion they're feeling right at that moment and have them write it down. That's bringing them into the present moment. It's, you know, everything else that's going on in the future, in the past, none of it matters. It's only about that present moment.
And I think to add to Jess's points is being out in nature helps kids, you know, listening to music and connecting that way quickly brings them right into that moment. If you want to really, like, you know, I hate saying flipping the switch, but it is flipping the switch. You're trying to divert them and to get them from a place where they might be a little angry or they might be a little sad. You know, we all know what diversion looks like, but to make them, bring them present and to stay with them, that means you as a parent also has to be present because they feed off our energy more than anybody else. So I don't know about you, but you could lie on the couch and your kids can see when you're sad, why are you crying, mommy? And I'm not crying, but they know, you know, and then they're asking each other and I hear them in the rooms and you know that you got to be like, I think more kids are aware and COVID brought that back to us. I think we all got that time to stop and reflect and really just, let's just go for a walk and let's enjoy the birds and let's go for a bike ride. Like everybody went outside and we kept our distance and we, you know, we learned with nature and a lot of kids painted and a lot of kids were coloring and we were playing like, you know, magician as most parents, when you're trying to school your kids at home, as well as keep them, you know, somewhat, at least in a balanced environment when things were so unbalanced for all of us.
Yeah. Being in nature is absolutely, it's critical. And when you bring them outside, you know, it's not just about letting them run around and, you know, it's great for them to have fun and to do all that. But again, the mindful part of it comes in where you can tell them to go walk over to the tree and, you know, touch the tree.
Yeah.
Feel what what it feels like, feel what the bark feels like. And you know, grab a pine cone off the ground and smell it. I mean, that strong smell, feel the sap on it. You know, what does it feel like on your fingers? Really get them to notice each piece of nature that's going on. When they look at a bird, you know, explain to them, you see birds all the time, but think about it, that bird flies, you know, really, really break things down to them so that they could see the beauty in the world.
Yeah.
That's
really
important.
Right. The sun on your face.
Yeah. We spend a lot of time in nature and it's a very good point, I guess. Like I just do it naturally, but like, we'll say hello to the trees and we'll sometimes give them names and she'll give it a high five. Yeah. In the morning we wait on the bus. We like, you know, do sun gazing. And I say, this gives you energy. This gives you vitamins.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important to talk to our kids like this and make it a normal daily habit. Like, so for example, I do a lot of research and I learn a lot of things, but in order for us to learn, to truly learn, is to teach it. Right. And so I use my kid to sort of like, you know, speak about all of these things and she remembers and she'll, you know, it just creates this, this thing for her where I don't treat her like a kid. There are times I do, but then there are times where I try to have regular conversations with her about things, not just things that we're doing around the house, but just about the world and things like that. And there's like, I think it's called conscious parenting, where they talk about how, even though they're kids and they're young, even when they're 2, 3, 4 years old, they're limited in their knowledge of words or, you know, what's going on in the world, but they're unlimited with different knowledge that we sort of lost. So you get to sort of marry the both, right? So you're teaching them about certain things and then you allow your kids to teach you as well. And I think that's really important. And it gives them a sense of this power that they have, right? Because we're not just constantly saying, you don't know, let me tell you. You know, like they want to be heard and they want to have these conversations. So I think it's important to allow that. This is not where I was going with it, but I wanted to ask with feelings, when, you know, she's 5, so she'll still have a random tantrum of things. And I say, oh, wow, like you have big feelings, you know, and that's okay. What are some other ways that people or parents can teach their kids how to cope with their feelings? And feel free to use, like, you know, including Rosie, or even if they don't have her, like, what are some things that they can do?
Oh, I want to share this one story. My niece, who was 8, she was having some social anxieties with school during COVID, because she wasn't going out and meeting any friends because she had grandparents to protect. And she kind of fell off that friend list, so to speak, and she was really struggling. And Rosie helped her get her confidence back. She would talk to her. And I said, you tell Rosie whatever you want. And Rosie is there to listen to you too, you know, like kind of give you advice, because you're just reaching into yourself for advice. So when you talk to an animal or a friend that's an imaginary friend, just saying it out loud helps a kid cope and figure out their own answers. Their world is a bigger funnel than ours is, right? And I always say, just let them gravitate and enjoy that silence, right? More importantly, sit in the silence. And what do you see, feel, hear? Close your eyes. What do you see, feel, hear? And it's really amazing how each kid can say things are different. But my niece will come up to me now and she's like, Elsa, Rosie helps me before I speak with somebody. Like, I get ready, I get excited to speak with them versus being scared to talk to them. And I was like, oh, just,
it makes wow. It just, yeah. That is beautiful. And it's so true. Kids are, you know, especially after the pandemic, they are inside. It's a different time, and giving them the tools to cope, just like, you know, I talk, most of my podcast is giving women different tools to deal with their mindset, emotions, routines and things like that. But, you know, it's time we start to sort of give our kids that power as well. And not just get upset at them when they, you know, when they have a tantrum or, when they don't understand something. I think it's really important. We take a step back and understand that they are just kids, you know, and they want to learn and they want to do their best.
Yeah.
Exactly. So. Yeah. There's, you know, and you're talking about tantrums, that there's a lot of different tools also in mindfulness that we could use when they're in the heat of the moment, you know, and breathing techniques will, it's the closest thing to kind of snapping them out of it, right? Because they're really, it's helping them to reset their nervous system somewhat, as much as you can for, you know, a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old having a tantrum. But there is so many little things to teach them how to breathe. One of them is I don't know if you ever heard of the starfish breath, where they put up
yes.
And it looks like a starfish, right? You breathe in, breathe out. By the time you get to the end, that child is now, they're present again, because they're paying attention to their breath, they're paying attention to their hand, so they're totally distracted. Again, mindfulness is just, it's brilliant for everything with kids.
But I think Jess was great to show that physical, like, kids want to see that immediate result. So, you know, like, they'll tell you, put a teddy bear on your belly to do some belly breathing. And when you do your deep breath in, that belly should rise, and maybe that teddy bear falls off or whatever, but that's showing them right there that they're doing it. They're yeah. doing it. So there's an immediate gratification. There's an immediate reward of them saying, I can do this. Like, it's for everybody. It's not just for those that need coping skills. It's everybody needs mindfulness and everybody needs meditation.
Yeah. They get to see that it works pretty quickly, that they feel different, because again, you're having them, you know, concentrate and think about their emotion at that moment, you know, and really feel into it. So when they see that change happen so quickly, well, I felt really bad 2 minutes ago, and now that I just saw you know, Rosie or Jasper going up and down on my belly as I was breathing, this, now I feel better, and it's only been a couple of minutes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it does, they get to see how that happened fast. And I mean, it's a lot of, it's about patience also. So, but they need to have that instant gratification in the beginning to have that trust, you know, that this does work, and, you know, it's something I want to do.
Definitely. It's also, you know, perhaps we set some time aside, because sometimes I always say, if you don't schedule, it's probably not going to happen. Right. This can happen or sort of like just randomly, right? Where you, the kid, like, you just have this moment and you can spend a minute or two, you know, these things don't take a long time, but they make such an impact, right? Huge. So you're almost changing the direction of their day, you know, how they start the morning and, or how they fall asleep at night. They say, you know, how you fall asleep is like basically how you wake up. So if you're falling asleep anxious, thinking about the day, worries, you know, somebody said something at school, things like that, you're going to wake up with that and you're going to carry that with you. But if you get to clear it every night and sort of reset your system, and, you know, when they do feel that change, so with kids, because of their attention span, like you said, they need to see it, feel it, understand it. And then you have a discussion about it and say, you see, like, don't you feel a little bit better? And so they associate this tool with feeling better. Yeah. And another tip I would have is just to start small. It can just be starting a breathwork practice this week, you know, mm-hmm. so taking three deep breaths together, like, come here, let's just take a quick deep breath together. And this will help us like reset. You can do that. You can, there's, you know, I actually want to create like a worksheet where we, you know, people can print out.
You can try different things.
They can checklist. Yep. Yeah. Have like a checklist so we can maybe work on that together.
Yeah.
That would be great. And then we'll put it on our site and everybody can download it. That would be fantastic.
Yeah. Because it's nice to, you know, it's nice to just have that checklist and we can't think of some things off the top of our head. So, and you'll know, you'll be drawn to that one thing that you can, or have the kids pick. What do you want to, it's like a menu. What do you want to work on this week? And we can layer on.
Changes with the day, right? If it's going to be a rainy day versus a sunny day, like let's go see Mr. Sun and, you know, the sun wakes up and the moon puts us to sleep. So I think kids don't understand time as much as we do, but I think mm-hmm. they understand how much being out in nature helps calm them. And it does. Just a walk. You can meditate while you're walking. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. I always say, I'm going to go walk barefoot in the grass. And I'll find my kids walking barefoot in the grass because they know that that's how you ground yourself really easily.
Yep. I love that. I love that. So I have a question. Where do you guys see yourself and Zen Pals in 5 years?
Come on, Jess.
Wow. Where do we see ourselves? We see ourselves everywhere.
we have to have that vision, you know?
We see ourselves in the hands of every child in the world. Where do we see ourselves? Let's see. We talk about a little bit about possibility of a game.
Yep. Like, I think you see the need for disconnect on technology happening with a lot of parents saying, okay, let's take some time away. But there's things that they can do that are healthy. And I think, you know, we're looking to, you know, build like a, like integrate a game with this and, you know, a child can create their own avatar and really become connected online and create their own vision or a story, you know, which really just is about opening their imagination, making them dream bigger. And I think there's ways that we can easily incorporate this into school curriculum that makes it fun, you know. I mean, kids need to get out more. And I mean, my favorite classes were, you know, third grade going to, you know, take a walk along a nature path. Like that was my favorite class. And I know that kids need to get out more instead of just worrying about, you know, being in the classroom and studying. They just need to put more time into, you know, giving them a break to like, let their brains get quiet and calm that nervousness. Cause when they're running on, you know, all cylinders for a couple hours straight, it's hard to bring them back down. And I can't imagine how hard it is for these teachers to manage all this with kids wearing a mm-hmm. mask as well in some school districts, but it's, you know, it's a new way of communicating and we've got to help our children find the skills.
Yeah. You know, Zendipity, we have a world called Zendipity that's on our website. And really the intention of Zendipity from the beginning was that it was going to be a game, except that we're, you know, not at that point, obviously now, but hopefully we will be 5 years from now. So everything lives in Zendipity. It's the home of the Zen Pals. So if you go onto our site, you can see that that's where all our meditations are. That's where arts and crafts are. Everything is right there. Our earth angels. We could talk about that in a minute too. Cooking classes, everything is in there. So the idea of the game is that, like Elsa said, the child creates their avatar and they can be whoever they really want to be. They can meet up with other kids and they can walk through Zendipity to different areas and they can do these different things. They can meditate, they can do an arts and craft, but they'll actually be within, you know, doing this in the game and with their friends. So, I mean, maybe imagine I don't know if I could say if I'm supposed to say, but like a Club Penguin, like on steroids, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And then the other idea was, you know, thinking about getting them outside, that what if we did something like a Pokemon Go, you know, where the kids are outside and they have their phone and mm-hmm. they're walking through and all of a sudden they see a flower, you know, and the flower gives them a task to do, you know, and it comes to life for them. And it gives them a task that they need to sit and breathe, you know, for 5 minutes and then they move on. There's so many different things that we can mm-hmm. do with this. Gaming is definitely going to be something for our future though, for sure. And I think to be in as many school districts as we can.
Yeah. And when, and we also thought about integrating like with birthday parties, because some kids, you know, when there's nothing worse than when you hear a kid that has a birthday and some time of the year that they couldn't even have that many friends come. Well, let's have a Zendipity party. Let's have Zen Pals be part of your friend group that gives them a little bit of confidence to say, I've got my friends, Rosie and Jasper there. You know, like there's, I see this becoming part of the language that how kids start speaking, and we don't want to become a verb, but we certainly want to become part of their vernacular every day.
Mm-hmm. And what is the age range that you guys are talking about kids?
We're starting at 5.
Like who is it for?
13.
5 to 13.
But we are noticing that there's a lot of little kids that are around 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
They have older siblings maybe, and they're watching them. So maybe you take the crystal out, which has gone through the chokehold, so it's large enough. But maybe that child doesn't have the crystal in the pocket. And you know, I think holding the crystal for them is a connection to themselves and their mind and how to get quiet and to listen to their body parts. But I think, you know, when in 5 years from now, I think kids are gonna be teaching us the meditations that they wanna hear. You're gonna see a platform where these kids are putting up their own meditations. They already are.
Well, it's great. I actually, the meditations that we listen to at night, it's from Insight Timer. And I tell a lot of my clients about it and friends, and nobody knows about it. So you guys download Insight Timer. And in one of the options you have for parents, so we click on that and then you go for sleep, and it gives you, I don't know, like over 100 different meditation stories. And it's so interesting because I've been meditating for 12 years, let's say, on and off. And our adult meditations, you know, they can get a little bit like repetitive, even though it's like different teacher. It's just, but these stories, it's almost like, you know, when you like listen to like a Bible story, it always has like a story and then a message tied to it. And so it makes sense for kids. And I've learned to really enjoy them at night. Like I get into them as well. Cause I put her to bed. I lay next to her. We listen to it and she's asleep by the end of basically every meditation. So I recently recommended it to a friend and she was like, oh my, and cause she would be reading books at night. And I was like, honestly, you know, let's say I work all day and then I spend time with her. I'm like, sometimes the last thing I want to do is to read a book. Like that is the, I don't want to speak. Like I just want to relax. And I know there's benefits. Like we do read throughout the day and stuff like that, but at night, just, it's nice to just follow along. So we use that. We usually set it to like 5 to 10 minutes. There's also like a duration time that you can set.
Yeah. You can filter.
And it's just wonderful because, it also, you know, invokes your imagination. So I really enjoy the kids' meditations, to be honest with you. They're beautiful.
It makes you feel like a kid again, right? Like they always say, you know, go back to when you were 10, right? That was like the time when I think those parameters or those guardrails start coming into their lives, where a kid that might be a free spirit might not be so free because they're told what to do, what to be, but to let their imaginations run wild and dream big is how we're going to see these future explorers change the world.
Exactly. That's how they'll come up with solutions, because they'll already have these, you know, these visions, these thoughts in their head.
Yep.
And so, to trust their instincts really like more, right? Like, I think like they're always like looking for peer approval or parent approval. Trust your guts and your instincts to say, think that your decision, your first decision that you're thinking about, just like on a test, on a, you know, an answer on a test, obviously that came first because that was the logical reason or the next step. So,
or the least logical.
Or the least logical.
Because it's coming from the gut.
Right.
Because it's coming from your intuition.
Right.
Right. Because they're so trained, everything is so logical, and we're so used to using our minds constantly all the time. So I think that sometimes when they realize that they can really think with their heart, right?
Yeah.
Then it doesn't seem logical, but yes, that is, it's the first thing that usually, the first answer that usually comes into their head.
I love that. And so how can anybody that's listening and they have, you know, they have kids and they want to not only bring this into their daily life so they can order Rosie on your website and start incorporating these practices, but if they want to make a bigger impact and perhaps invite this practice into their classroom or their, you know, their schools, how can they go about that?
They can go onto our website. They can email us any questions that they have. If it's a teacher, someone who's already teaching mindfulness, that was the other thing I wanted to mention. There is an area that we have called Earth Angels on our site. It's under Zendipity. What we're doing there is we are promoting teachers and organizations even. We're working with onoursleeves.org. You can check them out. They're amazing. That's the curriculum that we've been passing out to different schools. They put that together. We have yoga teachers. We have meditation teachers. We have a woman who does bowls. Anyone that we really feel is working with kids in such a positive way that they're making a big impact. There's a company called Little Renegades that we just started working with, and she's actually been on the Ellen Show, and she created a deck of cards to start with that are so, so incredible. Like, every teacher should have a pack of these. So what we've been doing is we've been putting these people onto our site as, we're calling them Earth Angels, because they're making such a huge impact, and we're promoting them as much as we possibly can. So there's a lot of different tools that parents and teachers can really find just from our site. So they can go right there.
And I want to mention that I passed this along to my daughter's teacher. So she's in pre-K-4 and she's very interested. So I sent her the curriculum and, you know, hopefully they'll be able to incorporate that into their school. So, you know, hopefully Rosie will be in each classroom as well. And how would the teachers use it? So, like, let's say a kid is acting out and they would sort of, instead of like a timeout, they would bring the child to let's say Rosie,
a mindful corner,
corner instead of timeout. Talk a little bit about that.
I think a mindful corner, the way that I see it. And again, I think each teacher really has their own, they'll put their own design to it, right? And their own personality into it. But I think that the mindfulness corner is going to be an area where maybe Rosie and Jasper are sitting. And if a child is acting out, they're going to go sit with Rosie and Jasper instead of a timeout, instead of making this into a punishment. Let's just take a couple of deep breaths. That's what we do in the mindfulness corner. And you could sit with Rosie and Jasper. You can hold on to the crystal, their magic stone that they have in their little secret pocket. Maybe there could be coloring pages over there that they can really, you know, focus on just that. It's going to be, and you put anything into that has to do with mindfulness, just a child, that's their break. You know, that's what's going to bring them back down.
Like listening to like the sound of water, like going down the rocks.
Sound machine.
Those machines do help kids, and having a diffuser with some of the essential oils that we know can calm kids down, and that's the smells make them, you know, feel a little bit more connected. I think, you know, we do this as adults. We go looking for our candles. Don't think kids don't remember smells and associate good things with them too.
Yeah, it would be really cool actually to almost put a challenge out there to teachers to create these mindful corners, and then to send us pictures and, you know, to see how each one does it a little differently. I think that would be like
a great idea, right? But not only in classrooms, have a mindful corner in the home.
Yes.
And just to have it, like I have, you know, I always say to clients to set up like a mindfulness corner where they, you know, if they have stones or a certain book in the morning, candle, journal, it could be all in one place. So when you wake up in the morning, it's already there. It could be a drawer. So it doesn't have to be out in the open. It could be a kid's drawer. And you sort of like say, what do you want to, you know, focus on? But that does take a lot of patience and practice. But I think that people practicing this will see results almost like it's long-term results, because we want to give our kids the right tools to cope with their emotions rather than like, you know, yelling at them or making them feel even worse, you know, because their emotion might be coming from something totally else that we might have done 2 days ago that we, and we have no idea about. So we always have to like get down to the root cause of things, right? But we don't do it by punishing ever. I mean, think about if you do something wrong and, you know, another person will just like punish you and you have to go to timeout. Like that's not the right way to go about things, right? You know?
Because I said so doesn't always fly with some children.
Or because I don't have time to talk to you about it. Go over there, you know? So yeah, definitely. So this is amazing. I think that it is such a beautiful concept. I can't believe there's nothing out there like this. So I'm so happy to have you guys on here. So please tell us where everybody can find you and how to contact you for, you know, if they have any questions.
Our website is www.zenpals.com.
Us on Instagram at Zenpals.
Instagram, yeah. Please follow us on Instagram.
Share your stories.
Yeah. If you purchase a Rosie or a Jasper and you want to take pictures with them, send us, you know, hashtag Zenpals, hashtag Zendipity.
We've got some great things planned, like, you know, helping to name like our next animal. Like one, you know, how great would it be for the kids to help vote on what the name is of the next animal coming into the party would be?
The newest Zen pal, yeah.
Do you guys know what the animal will be?
Nope, not yet, but we've got a couple. Not yet. It's about ideas. which one makes the most sense, right? We've got to,
yeah.
It has to come at the right time. And there's the world is very, very big. And I think if we can teach parents and kids alike to just keep dreaming bigger, we're going to see more kids create some wonderful experiences for future generations.
Yeah, we're definitely dreaming big with Zen Pals right now. So everyone should be.
I love that. And this also makes a beautiful Christmas gift for your kids. Absolutely. So definitely highly recommend. And stay tuned for a resource that, you know, I can, or we can provide to teach your kids mindfulness.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much for being on.
Thank you.
And thank you for everybody listening. You can find all of the links in the show notes and I'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Healthy Style Podcast. I hope you enjoy this episode. If you like the show, please take a second to rate, review, and subscribe. It's actually the best way to support the show. If you want to see more about each episode, you can head over to Healthy Style Podcast on Instagram. I'm always posting about each episode there or my personal page at Health with Michaela. I'm also offering 30-minute consultations where we can chat about your health and wellness goals and how to achieve them. You can schedule yours by visiting the website healthwithmichaela.com.